Is there anyone here today who forgot this Mother's Day? If so, it's not too late to do something special for your mom. You may still be able to, you know, take her out to eat this afternoon, though places could be a bit packed. So if you don't have reservations, you might be waiting for a while. You can still get her a gift card or a gift, or give her a card. And if you can't afford one, to make one for her. You know what? Moms still appreciate that. They do. But delivering those gifts or cards may be difficult if you're, you know, like just now thinking about doing that, especially if she lives a distance from you. Yet, at the very least, you can call or you can text or you can send an email to your mom if she's using devices to just tell her how much she's appreciated. She deserves to be acknowledged for how much she's contributed to your life. With that in mind, let's have our mothers stand today. Can we do that just for a minute? All the mothers in our midst, if you would stand, okay? Thank you. Thank you, mothers. Thank you, moms. Thank you, ma, if that's weird. But thank you, thank you, thank you for your godly examples to us. Thank you. We are so blessed because of you. Give them a hand. And moms, not only an applause, if you would make sure you see Miss Nina and I on the way out at the close of the service today, we have a small token of our love and affection for you. Now, I used to think that every kid thought their mom was the best mom in the world. But I've learned over the years that some don't have a very high opinion of the woman who brought them into the world. If so, it's usually because they were abused or abandoned by her. Though I wish that were never the case, I'm glad that it isn't the norm. And I'm thankful for those mothers who do nurture and care for their children, often sacrificing their own comforts and needs in the process of doing so. I also used to think that every mom loved Mother's Day. Yet some of the very moms who, again, gave their children up find this day very difficult because they're filled with such deep regret. Others lost children, and today reminds them of the heartache and the pain that they not only felt at the time, but that they deal with every day since. Now, it's not my intention to grieve anyone today, but it would be remiss if we didn't celebrate those mothers who have loved and cared for their children as the Lord has willed. After all, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, instruct us to honor your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So that brings me to our lesson for today. I want to take that time to honor mothers by taking a look at a few significant truths from God's Word. First of all, the Creator made woman to be more than a helper to a man. Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28 tells us, God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Some versions say, go forth and multiply. Now, just for your information, that wasn't about doing math homework. It was not, okay? Woman was formed in a unique and special way to do something a man could never do. Of course, I'm referring to conceiving, caring, and bearing a child. My mother reminded me from time to time of how difficult it was for her those 9 months that she carried me in the womb. Now, let's be real, okay? Nausea, morning sickness, fatigue, hot flashes, weight gain, changes in appetite, not to mention the discomfort of a growing, squirming, and kicking child within. Mom also once told me delivering me was like trying to pass a bowling ball. I thought, you know, my young, like, she was somehow making a comment about my big head. But for every mother, it's difficult to deliver a child. So why don't you tell your mom, thanks for enduring all of that for me. Thank you for again, choosing to carry me all that time and to endure all that and then to endure what came afterwards as well for me. Thanks, Mom, for doing that. Now, moms are also uniquely made by God to be the primary nurturers of children, physically equipped to nurse a baby and given the maternal instinct to do so. Nothing soothes a fretting infant like nestling at their mother's bosom. Nothing. Now, though some men I know might be slow to admit it, we may be okay dads, but we're no replacement for the mothers of our kids. We're not. We may be paternal, but we're not maternal. We're just not. God has uniquely made women for the purpose of, again, nurturing, nursing, caring for the children. Even bottle-fed babies also seem to find more comfort, in my experience, in the arms of their mothers than in the arms of their dads. I remember, and I've shared this with some of you, this was years ago when we were weaning my daughter, Mandy. Nina went to a women's conference and left her in my care with strict instruction not to give her a bottle. Things went fairly well till it was time to lay her in a crib that night, and she started crying and crying and crying, and she wouldn't stop. I walked the floor with her. I sang to her. I said, "It's okay, Daddy's here," over and over and over and over. She finally cried herself to sleep. Now, when Nina got home and I told her what happened, she said, "For goodness sake, why didn't you give her a bottle?" I went, "Duh, because you told me not to." Yeah, but to let her cry herself to sleep? I was just following orders. I was just doing what I was told. There you go. But, you know, Nina knew instinctively, would have known instinctively when enough was enough and when it's time. But Dad, he was following the rule, you know, so much. Mothers have an amazing instinct for the understanding of their child's needs. Her baby cries, yes, and she somehow knows what's causing the discomfort. She knows what to do. She rises to the challenge of feeding or burping or changing the child. She knows when a cuddle or a kiss or maybe a pat on the bottom is just what the doctor ordered. One Jewish proverb puts it like this: a mother understands what a child does not say. There's a lot of truth in that. There really is. My mom seemed to know what I was thinking, especially when I was, well, scheming up some mischief. Somehow she knew. Now, and I'm embarrassed to admit that I was scheming up mischief a lot. So, you know, but she knew what I was thinking, it seemed like, before I ever did anything, and she'd give me the look. Like, she'd give me the look. How many mothers ever give your child the look? How many of you ever got the look from your mother, right? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. But again, the look would say, "Oh, I better think twice about this before I do this." Someone said that a child's perspective would likely be this: to the world, she's my mother, but to me, she's my world. I'd suggest that perspective isn't limited to just the very young. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Maybe you have some similar thoughts of your own mother. Most, I believe, of us, if we really think about it, if not all of us, could attest to the fact that our mother's influence has gone a long, long way for helping us to become the person who we are today. A long, long way. So thank your mom for the contribution that she has made in your life. Thank her for what she has done, for the influence, for the things she taught you, for the way that, yes, sometimes she just gave you the look that we weren't thankful for at the time, but we realize now it was really a look of love too. It really was. No gift that we give to our mothers today, no matter how expensive, will come close to the value of what she's given to us and given up for us. How many know that's true? Their daily love and care, week after week, year after year, without vacations or paid leave, may have seemed to us as children like, well, it was just tireless, like she never grew weary. Yet, I'm sure it was exhausting. Cheryl Lacey Donovan says, mother is a verb. It's something you do, not just who you are. Any mothers relate to that? That old saying was, you know, a man's work is from, you know, from morning till night, but a woman's work is never done. It's from the rising to the setting of the sun, but a woman's work never done. Well, that's true of a mother, I know. So I think it would be a really good thing to try to do this, to try to give your mom a day off today. On this Mother's Day, to try to give your mom, your mother, a day off, if she'll allow it. And you know why I said that, don't you? Because so many mothers, you know, we say, oh, mom, let's do this for you. You know, we're going to cook dinner. You said, moms, I have a hard time with that. Sometimes just being served and being the one who's the focus of the attention. When it's their children even, giving them that focus of attention. But as much as you can, alleviate some of that daily workload and stress today, if at all possible. And for goodness sake, if you happen to still be under your mama's wing, and I know we don't have many of the children in our group today because they're in the educational wing, but for those who are still under their mama's wing, listen to what she says. Listen to her. If honoring our mother is only through token gifts and cards or an occasional meal out, we're missing the impact of what God's Word is calling for us to do when we are told to honor our mothers. In fact, listen to these gems from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Well, if we're not going to forsake her teaching, we're going to have to pay attention to what she taught. Listen to it and do as she tells us to do. Proverbs 23, verse 25 tells us, let her who gave birth to you rejoice. Rejoice, but by giving her gifts? Yeah, sure. But again, what she's really looking for, is to respect her and to show her how much you value not just her and what she does for you, but also the instruction and the encouragement and the influence she's given you in her teaching, not just by what she said, but what she has done. I've noticed that a mother's smile will fade quickly if her child's affection on Mother's Day isn't backed up with following her wise counsel other days. I have actually seen in my life where a child would give their mother on Mother's Day, you know, something, oh, look what I gave you. And then they go off the rails, you know, and mom's trying to call them to attention about something and then just totally ignore them, you know, the rest of the day. Well, wait a minute. As sweet as that token gift is, as sweet as that expression is, don't forsake your mother's teaching. And let her who gave birth to you rejoice, not just on Mother's Day, not just when you give a gift. So we should be respectful. We should be responsive to our mothers. We should. As my mom was quick to remind me, she wasn't speaking to hear her head rattle. Now, why would she say that? Because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't responding to her when she told me something. If I'd have paid more attention to my mother, I know it would have saved her a lot of grief I know it would have. But it would also save me from a lot of grief and heartache. It would have. And I know, deep down, that's what she wanted to do. She was more concerned about me than she was herself. Now, later on, when I got a decent job before I met my dear wife, I was considered a bit of a mama's boy by some of the people who knew me because I would take my mom shopping, not just on Mother's Day, but I would take her out shopping once in a while to the store and just buy her something. I bought her a few expensive gifts. I don't regret that. Not at all. I wish I'd have done more for her, though, than just on a few special days. She deserved much more attention and gratitude than I gave to her. The last years of my mom's life, she was in a lot of pain. She suffered with rheumatoid arthritis and struggled with some low blood sugar. Her hands were pretty crippled up, and her diet was limited. She wasn't able to enjoy some of her favorite treats. On some weekends when I would drive down from Michigan to visit with her, she spent most of her time in the recliner, resting. Still, we'd talk. We'd share memories. And when I'd pray for her and kiss her on the cheek before I would leave, she'd always tell me how proud she was of me. That meant a lot. That meant a lot. Now, it wasn't just then. Throughout my life, she told me when I do something right, when I do something good, she would compliment me. She'd tell me she was proud of me. But you know, those times when I misbehaved and even needed to be disciplined, she never pushed me away. She never did. Matter of fact, she'd comfort me after correcting me. And that's a mother's love, I'm telling you. The time came when Nina and I got the call that she'd been taken to the hospital with what they suspected was a heart attack. We dropped everything. We made the hour-long trip to the University of Toledo Medical Center. They determined pretty quickly that it wasn't her heart. It was, through further tests, that she had cancer. And it had spread to her vital organs. They didn't hold out any hope for her. Not much hope. Not any hope. And I was elected to tell her that news. My sister Sheila was with me, I know, when I told her. And I asked her recently if she remembered my mom's response. At first, Mom seemed almost relieved that they'd finally diagnosed why she'd been so ill for so long. And in such discomfort. Then after a long pause, she cried because she didn't want to miss seeing her grandkids grow up. That's what she said. Later, when Mom and I were alone, she clasped my hand, looked me in the eye, and said, "It'll be okay." I reminded her of the seriousness of her condition, saying, "Mom, there's nothing they can do." She said, "I know. But it'll be okay." Now, the time would come when her confidence about that would waver. It really would. But on that day in the hospital, she was more concerned once again about how we were handling the news than she was. More concerned about us than herself. She only lived a short time afterward, and we laid her to rest on Memorial Day weekend. Yet I recall yet today those words, that would be okay. I don't know if she thought she was going to get better, but she knew that she would go to a better place. Mom didn't teach me about Jesus when I was a small boy. I've shared with you before that I wasn't raised in the church as a young boy. But she did all she could to encourage me to learn about him later. She made sure I was able to be in church for every assembly and Bible study once we started going. As my faith was awakening, hers was being rekindled. She recommitted to Christ before I pledged my heart to him. So I have no trouble relating the words of the Apostle Paul to a young preacher in Ephesus. It's found in 2 Timothy 1:5. He said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Now, my mom lost her mother when she was only 16, so I never got to meet my grandma Bowling. But I heard about the seed of faith my mom received from her, which prompts me to thank the grandmothers as well as mothers today who have made it a priority to instill within their children and grandchildren the good news. Perhaps some of you would not be in church today if not for your granny's faith. Her faithfulness to God's word and the calling on her to live it out lives on in you today. I know there's an official Grandmother's Day, Grandparents' Day, I should say, but what do you say we take a moment to also express thankfulness for godly mothers and grandmothers as well? Now, here's a picture of my wife, Nina. Her mother, Froni McKinney. Our daughters, Mandy and Sarah. Our granddaughters, Shelby and Abby. And the lady there with the red blouse, that's Nina's grandmother. Retha Rogers. Five generations of godly women, because my granddaughter is a lot older than that now. They're in their 20s. And they are faithfully serving in their churches. They're praising God every day. Every day. Five generations. And I have no doubt that should I have great granddaughters, they'll be raised to know Jesus too. I have no doubt about that. The legacy carried on. Not so long ago, Nina's cousin Misty went to the Holy Lands with her church, and she took also, along with her, her grandmother's Bible, Retha Rogers' Bible. While having some quiet time in the Garden of Gethsemane, she discovered this letter tucked between the pages. In essence, it expresses her Mama Rogers' wish that all her family would get right with God so they would be able to join her in heaven. Misty said she heard from Grandma. She heard from her grandmother and wanted the others to hear from her too. Her heart's desire. How many mothers and grandmothers have that wish for their kids? That they want their children and their children's children and their children's children's children to know Jesus. With this in mind, we would have had neither our mothers or our grandmothers if not for the grace of God in Jesus. Their powerful examples of unconditional love are used by our Lord to illustrate his own love for us. Isaiah 49:15, he said this, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Now, for some of us, when we hear that, we might think, well, man, no one's ever loved me more than my mom or my grandma, and we're really impressed, I hope, and maybe even just amazed that God could love us even more than that. But for some people I've talked to, they've been the one that was forgotten by their mother. They've been forgotten. I wanted to impress upon them always this truth, but God will never forget you. The Lord will never, ever forget you. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, the Lord assures us, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. I wrote a special prayer of gratitude that I want to close out this lesson today with. Father God, thank you for our dear mothers who loved us on earth like no others, who blessed us with love and care, and the good news of Jesus shared. Help us today to do our best, our love for them to express. For wherever we go or come from, in our hearts we cherish our dear moms. And thank you, Lord, for they did show your heavenly love for children below. Our mothers mean so very much to us. For all they've been and done, we trust. This day will be especially blessed, because next to you, they loved us best. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for moms. I want to thank you for the mothers you have blessed us with. I want to thank you for the way that they showed to us, they demonstrated to us unconditional love and sacrifice. I want to thank you, Father, for your wisdom and even pointing to them as examples of the kind of love that you have for us. And yet you have even more. Whatever we've experienced, you offer more. We're so thankful for that news today. Father, we pray a special blessing upon those today who are heavy-hearted on this day because of, well, either not having their mother with them, having some alienation or something between them that they haven't experienced the love like you would want for them to, or mothers who have lost children. Let's pray for them, for your comfort and your care today. But Father, help us to rejoice and to celebrate the mothers that we have known. And for those women, grandmothers, aunts perhaps, maybe women in the church, others who just come alongside and were as mothers to us, who loved us and cared for us and showed us the kind of love that you would want us to experience. Father, we appreciate you so much. Help us to express our gratitude to you for our moms and our grandmothers and all those women, again, who served in that capacity in some way for us. But help us always to know that we would not have them in our lives if not for your goodness and graciousness. Thank you for Jesus most of all, and in his name we pray. And those who agree say, amen.